Look, if you would, into 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start primarily in verse 6. And we're going to look at just a couple of things here, and I won't keep you too long because I don't have a whole lot to say on this section right here. And so I don't want to try to pontificate and make myself look all smart and all this and tell you things that I don't know, because I would just be wasting air. And right now, I'm weak, I'm tired, and I need to be in bed. So it's as good a time as any just to claim ignorance and go with that. But in the second chapter of Corinthians, what we see here is Paul begins to address something dealing with the wisdom of God compared to the wisdom of the world, and the mysteries of the world compared to the mystery of the gospel. But let's begin, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 2 and put this in context. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Lord, we thank you for the opportunity once again to be in your house. And Lord, as the sun sets and the rays shine through these beautiful stained glass windows, we see maybe just a little hint of the beauty that lies ahead for each and every one of us that has put our faith and trust in you. One day, we will step out of darkness into the light of glory. But until then, Lord, I pray that you would just prepare us for that day, that you would grow us and mature us so that when we get there, we'll know a little bit more about home. And God, I pray that you would be with those that are not here tonight. Lord, for whatever reason they're not here, God, I pray that you would just minister unto them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, when we look at this, Paul is talking about something that, as we discussed before, is the wisdom of God as compared to or set opposing the wisdom of men. And as we have discussed before, and I'll say again, the world has a problem with the gospel of Christ. The world has a problem with the cross. Paul says, "I came not with excellency of speech." He said, "I didn't come to try to wow you with how good of a speaker I am." He said, "I did not come here to impress you with what I knew or how I could share it." He says, "On the other hand, I came to you determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, we know that he knew more and he preached more, but this sets apart Jesus Christ and him crucified, that truth, that doctrine, as the preeminent doctrine that he taught. And he says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He realized the gravity of this. He realized the seriousness of this. And he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Enticing words. There's a lot of things about man's wisdom. There's a lot of things that man says that entices us. When you watch one of these infomercials on television, they can sell you dirt if you just watch long enough. I mean, it is amazing what enticing words can come across. And then here we see just how, just this last week, One of those people got arrested now and is put in prison for 10 years because of his enticing words. Although they, as we see in verse 6, says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that come to naught." The wisdom of this world, the wisdom that is taught with enticing words, is worthless. There are so many things that the world says, this is what you need. This is what you should desire. But in reality, it's nothing. It means nothing. He said, "I didn't come teaching you these things. I did not try to entice you with man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, this is key. This is critical because, you see, it's not man that can understand God. When we want to know more about God, the world says if they want to know about God, if they want to know about anything religious, they come up with a religion and they study that religion. You know, the world says that Christianity is nothing but a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with a living Savior. Religion is a way that man sets up so that he can, in good conscience, according to his own wisdom, bring himself closer to whatever God it is that he wants to worship. Because he knows intuitively, without a God, there is no meaning in life. And so he may create his own God of his own making, but whatever that may be, anything from a doorknob to a golden idol or his own self, which is what the atheist does. He worships himself. He is the God of his own making. But they all have religion. And this religion is the answer to common, earthly, carnal man as to how to reach godhood or reach that God or to live in union with nature. But Paul says, "I'm not trying to tell you that stuff." He says, "I came here and I didn't preach in the wisdom of men, but I came here in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power." It's not just words. There's something about it because it's of God. The Spirit of God, of power. As we read on into this, we say that it is the Spirit of God that is who knows God. Look, if you see, verse 10 says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." So in other words, the reason that it is so important that Paul came in the power of the Spirit is because he has no authority to tell you what God thinks if not for the Holy Spirit telling him. And that's where we get into the difference between the world and the Christian and how we can read God's Word, how that God through the Holy Spirit can bring this Word to life and show us and illuminate the truth here. It's because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And like Paul says, who knows better the mind of God than his own spirit? You know, I can't tell you. You can do whatever you want to do. You can say what you want to say. But I don't know what's truly inside you. Only you do. And that's what we're here learning about God. The only one who truly knows what's inside of God in his heart and his mind is his spirit. But he is willing to give us his spirit. That's the difference between true faith, being born again, being in the family of God, being a believer, and being of the world, being a natural man. Why can't the natural man understand the Word of God? It's because he does not have the Spirit of God within him. Does that make sense? So he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I love how he goes on here. He says in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, when he talks about the princes of this world, it could go one of two ways, or he may be implying it both ways. Because if we look in different places of Scripture, we read about the prince of darkness, the prince and the powers of the world, of the air. We battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, okay? Those are spiritual entities. Those are demonic powers. And here also, though, it could literally mean princes, human authorities. Either one, he says, had they known the real story, they would have never gone through with what they did. And you know, that's an awesome thought to think about. When you go back to the cross, which is what he's ultimately talking about here, the cross, the power of the cross, the message of the cross that he preaches. Can you imagine how ticked off the devil was when he realized he had been had come Easter morning? I would have loved to have been there. I hope he does this. Maybe he will. Okay, let's just have some glorified, sanctified imagination. And let's just hope that one day, someday in eternity, he pulls out a DVD or a flash drive or something, whatever God has in heaven, and puts it up on a big old screen for everybody to see. He says, come here, I want to show you some home movies. And this home movie is when I had one of those little, I had this camera set up, and the devil didn't know about it. Okay, and I want you to see his reaction. Just watch this. And we put it up on screen. And here's the devil getting the word when Jesus had come back from the dead. He's going, I thought I had him. But he tricked me. If I had known that this whole cross business with its plan from the beginning or even before the foundations of the world, I would have never gotten crucified. I would have said, no, Jesus, you stay away from that Garden of Gethsemane. No, no, Judas, you stay back. Don't betray him. No, I thought I had this all worked out, but it was all the plan of a sovereign God. Paul says, the Spirit suckered them all. Hallelujah. If they had known the plan of God. But they couldn't know the plan of God. Why? Because they didn't have the Spirit within them. Amen? Amen. That's an awesome truth. And that, you know, and what's so awesome about that, if you apply that to our life right now, why is it that we're so afraid? Why is it do we get so worried and so distraught and so upset about the future? It's always, always because some demonic power, some demon, some little imp, some little leathery winged clawy thing lands on your shoulder and whispers in your ear and says, worry, be afraid. Your God has not got things in control. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't sleep. Worry. In reality, the demon doesn't know what in the world's going to happen tomorrow. The demon doesn't know what's going to go on. The devil doesn't even know. Because if he did, he'd have given up. If he did, he wouldn't have had Jesus crucified. So why should we listen to a bunch of demons when they don't know what's even going to happen tomorrow? Why don't we listen to the one who does? But he said, we speak wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, when Paul was speaking at this time, when he was writing to the church at Corinth, it was very popular to believe in things that were called mystery religions. Paul, when he used this word, it was obvious to the listeners at that time that he was making a clear distinction between Christianity, following Christ, and the mystery religions there. Because the difference is that the mystery religions had initiates. And the further you went, the further higher and deeper into these religions you went, the more knowledge you had access to. Now, without offending anybody, and I may offend somebody, I don't want to, but you know, there are similarities between those mystery religions, even using all the same names and everything, between that and modern fraternities. Now, how you want to get yourself involved in those things, that's between you and God. But the same ideas there of moving through, the further you get in, you get more and more knowledge. Paul says that's not Christianity. Christianity is getting all of God through His Spirit freely given. You don't earn it. You don't progress. You've been given Him. Look at what he says and keep the comparison and the contrast in mind. He says, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, now here's one of those verses that is one of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible. We use it in songs. We use it in preaching. We say, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for him. But look at what Paul is really saying here. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that love him. But, see that? But, verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There are some religions that teach that you have to get further in and more committed, rise higher in levels and stature and all this in order to know the deeper secret things of God. All we have to have is the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit that knows the deep things of God because He is God. And as He chooses, He reveals those things to us. He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things, what? That are freely given to us by God. Is that not awesome? Isn't that not a complete contrast? In other words, when you come and you get saved, you don't have to look forward to years of training and initiations and money paid. You know, for you may think I'm only speaking of one group, but you know, think of what's his name? Flies the airplane, the actor. Yeah, John Travolta. And then also Top Gun, Tom Cruise, okay? John Travolta, Tom Cruise are all part of Scientology. Yeah. What is Scientology?
I don't know.
Good answer. Scientology, literally, created by L. Ron Hubbard. You heard that name before?
Yeah.
A science fiction writer who essentially created a fake religion to make him millions, to sell a book. And it was believed and is still taught as a literal religion. And the whole thing is that your ultimate goal in Scientology is to become, quote unquote, clear. In other words, you are unaffected by the things of life, the things of the world, the things of nature. You are clear. The only way you get clear is if you progress through certain levels of initiation. And there's a bunch of them. So by the time you get to be clear, you could have paid out $1 million and still not sure clear on anything. In other words, you'd be a sucker. And Paul says you don't have to be a sucker, you can just be saved. And when you're saved, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, the mind of God comes and dwells in us. And as we yield unto Him, as we give our life to Him in a progressive daily manner, just giving everything, growing and growing in fellowship with Him, the more He is able to trust us with His truth, the more He's willing to show us those deep things. How do you distinguish between some of the deep things? Well, it's like this. I can simply put it this way. How often have you just read the Bible and you read something and it says something to you and you think, well, praise God, that's good. But you're going with the Lord, you're walking with the Lord, and you hit one of those times in life where it's hard, and you go back to that same verse, and you read that verse, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, you know what? We've walked a little bit down this road. Now I want to show you some of the deeper things of God. I want to show you something here. And you read that, and it's not something I can explain to you right now. And if you know what I'm talking about, then you can shout with me. God gives you what you need for the moment.
Amen.
The deeper things that come with a walk with God, that comes through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And these are the things that Paul says the natural man, verse 20 or verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness unto him. What I just told you is foolishness to the unbeliever. They look at the Bible, they read the Bible. I don't understand it. Well, why don't they understand it? Because they're lost. Because they're natural. The word "they're natural" comes from a Greek word that means, refers to the man who is governed by his environment, his animal instincts. You know, the lost man is essentially nothing but an environmentally controlled animal. Not one controlled by the Spirit of God. Why is it that we see the world in the state that it is in? You got a bunch of animals trying to run it. Well, I'm just excited that the truth is this. Paul says, I preach the gospel. I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For those who are lost because they don't have the Spirit of God, they think it's foolishness and it's crazy. But for those of us who know the Lord, for those of us who are, as he says, being saved, the Spirit opens it up to us. We can see, and we think that this is the most wonderful, the most awesome thing of God. And that's why we love it so much. That's why we can sing, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, that the truth of God that we find here. Lord, we don't have to walk blindly through this world. We don't have to depend on man. But God, we have your word and we have your Spirit to guide us. God, I just pray that you would draw us nearer to you. Lord, that we would be able to hear your voice, that you never scream. You have that still, small whisper that speaks louder than any hurricane, but we have to listen. God, I pray that you would just speak to us, open our ears, open our hearts to the truths that you want to share to us. And God, help us to grow. And Lord, help us to be a light. Help us to be an influence in this world, not like the animals that run around killing each other and destroying each other and devouring each other. God, help us to be wise. And Lord, may we, through our lives, draw and point all men to you, the source of wisdom. Lord, we thank you for the cross and the message that it presents. In Jesus' name, amen.